Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Take a bow. That's right.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
You're seeing the development of a real quarterback. While he's developing, he's entertaining as hell. I watched his quarterback play. I think there's a bright, bright future in Chicago.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
Kevondre Sweat. He's the best rookie defensive lineman I've watched all day. Like the quick escape on the swim right here. Beating Jenkins cleanly and getting Caleb out of the pocket, forcing to throw it away on third down and three. It's T-Pain. He just brings the pain is what he does.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
He got something to cheer about in Chi-Town.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Morning,
hey, Baldy, how are you?
How's it going?
Well, good morning, guys. Good to join you here. Nice to hear your voices. I'm doing great. I'm right here in my film room, kind of get some things ready for week two here. So I'm just looking ahead right now like everybody else.
So we were talking about it. We've been talking about it all week, that the fear for the Bears is that the Bears interior line under looking so suspect and under so much scrutiny may be replaced by the offensive tackles this week playing against a Houston team that is stronger in a different place on the line, if I can put it that way.
Well, they're a formidable defense, period. I mean, yes, Will Anderson, you know, and Danielle Hunter are great off the edge. They were very good against the Colts on Sunday. But it is going to be a challenge. But they've got great players, you know, whether it's, you know, Stingley or Jalen Petrie or Azir Alshire. I mean, those guys got great speed and great skill, and they're very, very well coached. So, but look, the Colts put up a big number on them on Sunday. They gave up a lot of big plays. I'm sure the Bears have studied it all week. They got behind that defense a bunch. Anthony Richardson looked like Aaron Judge in a football uniform. So there's things that, you know, you can definitely, if you block them up, there's plays to be made for sure.
I think Caleb Williams would settle for a couple ground rule doubles or maybe even just a few singles just to get going, Baldy. He did not play well, as everybody knows. Curious, as you study the tape, if anything emerged as a consistent problem or something that can't be corrected. What do you think about Caleb Williams heading into week two?
Well, I mean, how many balls did he get batted down?
Three.
I mean, that's disturbing. Like, you can see one or two, you know, on these, you know, these lateral screens where somebody gets a hand in. But the plays over the middle of the field, you know, and so you go, okay, well, why is that? You know, is he just locking in on one receiver and guys are just, you know, watching him lock in and then just timing the jump or the hands or whatever? Like, yes, he was inaccurate with the ball. Some of the offense makes no sense to me. Third and three, why you want to throw a spray fade down the field, 40 yards down the field, you know, to a young receiver like Carter. I don't understand some of that stuff. But, you know, the accuracy things are things that would be concerning until it isn't concerning. It always is if you can't put the ball where you got to put it. And then the bat downs at the line of scrimmage is something to be concerned about. It's only one game, but you kind of want to go through a game and not have that happen.
Yeah, we talked with our contributor, Olin Krutz, earlier in the week. We were asking him, because he spent the year in New Orleans, how they combated that with Drew Brees, and who is shorter than Caleb. And Caleb is over, he's 6'1 plus, and we understand he's slightly built. But, you know, you want a guy 6'4". I get all the numbers. I'm just wondering if indeed you had like a Pro Bowl guard, if indeed you had what they tried to do in New Orleans, a clean pocket, would that be a different situation? Would the passing lanes be more obvious to him and is part of what we saw on the protection as well?
Well, the protection wasn't good. You know, the rookie, like I mentioned in your, you know, little lead in here today, you know, Kevondre Sweat was a handful for Jenkins. Simmons is a handful for anybody in this business. I don't care if you're a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, that guy's just a great player, powerful player. protection is always an issue. But, you know, you go back to Drew Brees. I mean, the guy was a state champion tennis player in Austin, Texas. The guy's got tremendous feet. And so when you watch Drew Brees play, every time he changed or moved with progressions from, you know, 1 to 2 to 3, his footwork changed. His footwork was always perfect. And so that's something where, you know, maybe Cale's gotten away with a lot of things where footwork didn't have to be perfect. I mean, Mahomes has gotten away with it throughout his whole career. Josh Allen's gotten away with it. All right. But, you know, if you're getting balls batted down, you got to be able to throw it through the trees. And you're going to have to move in order to do that. And when you move, your footwork has to move. And so I think it's a mechanical thing. But I don't think it has anything to do with height or how tall you are. Yeah, I mean, if you're 6'6", like Josh Allen, it's a little bit easier to throw over the trees. But nonetheless, if you're just staring down receivers, these defensive linemen are taught that if you're not getting there, get your hands up, get in the passing lane, and, you know, obstruct the view as much as you can. And so I do think that's something, you know, against Houston this weekend where it's worth taking a long look at and see if that issue shows up again.
Baldy, Daryl Taylor made an impact immediately with 2 sacks, including the strip sack fumble. And Matt Eberflus talked about just his burst and just his initial first step. What did you see? And do you think that the way that he played in the first game is sustainable? What does he need to do to make sure that he makes an impact each and every week?
I remember studying that kid when he came out of Tennessee. Like, he was kind of a natural pass rusher. He's got great speed to power. He can bend enough, like he did around the rookie tackle, Latham, to make the play that he made. Look, I mean, he's been a situational player. He's never really been a full-time starter where he's played 70% of the snaps like that, but he's been, like they used him, he's been that type of player where he could give you good pass rush. I was surprised Seattle let him go. I know they like Boye Mafe up there and some guys, but I was surprised that they could get him. I mean, they did their homework on him now. Ryan Poles did a good job. He's a good football player, and they need pass rush. You know, the rookie, you know, he played 6 plays. Like, he can't do what Taylor did on Sunday yet. You know, he almost needs a redshirt year for these rookies. But I think Daryl Taylor is going to help this football team. They need to be able to get home and affect the quarterback with just your front four. And that was encouraging to see that from Taylor. When they made the deal, I was surprised Seattle did it, and then I was surprised at how little Chicago had to give up.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. And, Brian, we haven't talked to you since you got back from Brazil. Obviously, your Eagles took down the Packers, a very competitive game. Jordan Love comes out of that with an MCL injury. Was that related to the field? Do you think that was a factor in it? And I'm just curious, you know, we talk about the Bears and the situation they're in their division. They kind of, with Detroit in the division and Green Bay having both made the playoffs and won, you needed something bad to happen at some point to somebody. It might be a real opportunity if indeed Jordan Love is out for whatever they're saying, 3 to 6 weeks.
Well, a couple things. One, the field wasn't good. I was on the field before the game, and everybody slipped. A.J. Brown slipped in the end zone. Ball gets intercepted by Jair Alexander. I mean, everybody slipped in that game. I don't care what position you're at. So that's unfortunate. I don't know if it's related to it or not. Happened on the second last play of the game. Yep. But I said this in preseason. I said the Packers better trade for Taylor Heineke as a backup quarterback, because what they had on the roster wasn't good enough if something like this did happen to Jordan. And now, you know, you trade for Malik Willis, who's very inexperienced. He's still very raw, even though this is his third year in the league. And now he's trying to learn a new offense. Like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for Green Bay right now during this stretch. I said that they probably have the best young core receivers in this business, but it doesn't matter if your quarterback can't get him the ball. Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I'm sure he's going to cobble a game plan together to accommodate Malik, but the offense isn't going to look anything like what we're used to seeing under Jordan Love.
Are the Bears better than the Packers then?
Well, if you're blocking punts for touchdowns and, you know, picking sixes and, and you're doing that, yeah, they're better than everybody in the division. But, I mean, if I was the Bears, I wouldn't be thinking too much about the Packers. I'd be thinking about, you know, trying to get a passing game put together right now and, you know, try to develop a running game and, you know, maybe on third down and three, not throw four deep routes, you know, into it and just trying to sustain offense and stay on the field and get a first down. I think there was plenty of blame to go around for all that offense on Sunday.
How long does it take a new offensive coordinator like Shane Waldron to get used to his personnel, to get into a rhythm play calling? He has experience doing the job, Baldy. It's not like past guys they have hired that this is their first opportunity. What's the grace period for an OC?
Well, it's the OC is the OC. He's new, okay. But everybody has to understand what they're doing, too. And there were plays out there where they're just head-scratchers. Like, what is the play? Because nobody's looking for the ball, but Caleb's looking to throw it, you know? Like, the timing wasn't good on a number of plays. Not just one, a number of plays. The quarterback has to catch the center snap. You know, you can't drop it. The play's dead, you know? So there's some things for sure that they got to clean up. But, you know, how long does it take? You would hope that, you know, by the time you get to week one, that they'd be a little bit better at understanding, you know, the down distance situation and that kind of thing. The best thing is they came out of it with the win. That's just the best. That's a good bromide for anything. But hopefully they got back to the practice field and they got a lot of good work done this week because they're going to see a great team this weekend.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, Brian, is that when we think about the Bears offense with the new coordinator, we don't know what their identity is. We don't know. It's not like you can look at, hey, well, at least they're going to be able to run the ball and they love to do this play.
Yeah.
We don't have any idea what they're going to be able to do because they didn't even show it.
Well, I mean, I just didn't understand some of it. Like Caleb was in an empty set with five receivers on nine different plays. Like, that's not exactly how you protect your rookie quarterback. I mean, there's some things they did in the screen game and everything that helps any young quarterback. But, like, you know, it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes going out there and you can just go empty and he's going to make a quick read and an accurate stick throw and make you pay. Like, I just thought that it was a little too wide open for me with, you know, everybody learning a new offense and, you know, just so much new personnel on the offense, like to just go out and play like that. Like, I didn't think that was the right formula.
What did you think of the way that Matt Eberflus spoke about Velus Jones post-game, and what would you do with Velus Jones now?
Well, what did he say?
He said he was proud of him. He said he was proud of him. The way he came back from that mistake and carried the ball without fumbling. He said he was proud of the way he persevered, and it sounded like they were going to give him another chance, and yet the Bears did bring in David Wallace, a veteran kick returner on Tuesday.
They brought in seven guys in the
for
ton
a tryout.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's never a good sign. Bayless had a good preseason last game. He did carry the ball at running back. They did throw it to him. He looks like he's part of the offense at this point. I don't know what's going to happen to kickoff return. I mean, it's been a big nothing burger for the most part in this business. Yeah. Teams look pretty content just to kick out of the end zone and start at the 30. You know, maybe Chicago takes that approach. They certainly got a kicker that could do that. So, but I don't, you know, if they were going to make a move with him, they would have already done it this week.
Yeah, I think what was you couldn't help but notice is DeAndre Carter, who is their punt returner. Velus can't return punts because he dropped the ball a few times. So they have him move to kick returner after that flub, and he gets a 66-yard return. And they got a better option. So that, I think what you're bringing up is very interesting. Do they feel that he is helpful to them as a running back, even though that's not his natural position and they tried him there as a way to get him on the roster? I was saying to David, I might give him a week off. I might have him on the inactive list and have a Tyler Scott play because they've got some concerns at wide receiver. Roma Dunze has a sprained knee and is day-to-day, they claim, but I don't know that he's ready to go. And Keenan Allen still has a heel problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got depth at running back, so the fact that he's even carrying the ball with what they have there was surprising to me in that game.
When you look at the Bears' secondary, how good is it? Tyrik Stevenson, NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jalen Johnson probably had the best metrics of any cornerback in week one. This is a deep and talented group, Baldy. I think it's certainly the strength of this team. I wonder how good, when you compare it to the rest of the secondaries around the league, it is.
It's good. It's really good. I mean, I'm interested to see. I mean, Brisker is a player, and Kyler Gordon's got his role. And I think they're really good on the edges, you know, with Jalen and Tyrik. The X factor right now to me, I'm a huge Kevin Byard fan. You know, I've studied that kid since he was at Middle Tennessee State. I don't know. I think he's got 30-something career interceptions. He did not play well in Philadelphia when they brought him in last year, but nobody played well on defense. The guy's is got great ball instincts. He just does. And he really is a smart player. He really can explain the game. I'm curious to see what they get out of Kevin, if he still has a lot left or if he doesn't. I mean, that's the one concern, because I love the person and I love the player and his history. I don't know whether his speed or range is quite what it was a couple of years ago, but I wouldn't give up on him. Like he knows defense, and he knows schemes, and he knows exactly how to get to the ball. That's the guy I'm kind of curious how he plays in this defense right now.
Brian, we'll let you go. Thank you, buddy. Great stuff.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brian.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the Best Football Show podcast, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Oh, yes.